This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born. May all beings be happy. Let none deceive another or despise anything in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life the child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
So Marlene, do you want to introduce me to all the new people that's staying here? Since you're the coordinator.
I'm not the coordinator.
For the Armadale group.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Okay. So I have some new people in the back. Hello.
Hello.
New people.
Nice to be here, thank you.
How do you hear about this place?
Through a local neighbourhood app.
Called Next Door.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, so
thank
what?
You so much.
Okay, that's great. Okay, that's good.
I put the advert on, then my husband put a picture on.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, so you live in the neighbourhood, around the neighbourhood?
Gosnells.
Okay. Okay, it's good to see you. Yep.
You too.
Okay. So you meditated before?
No? You tried to.
Okay. That's what we try to do here as well. We try to meditate. That's all we can do. coming to a place like this, trying to just find skillful ways of calming the mind down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for some reason, people come see the monks. And I think one of the reasons is why people seek out monks to learn how to meditate is because it's one of those things that a monk is dedicated to doing for a big part of their monastic life. And that's basically one of the main reasons why a monk becomes a monk, is to learn how to meditate. And then after many years of practice, We can share our inner experiences and our knowledge with people who want to learn. So coming to a place like this, it's quite a simple setup. Later on, we'll meditate for half an hour, and I'll give you a guided meditation, maybe on the breath or body sweeping or something.
Yeah,
like
that.
Body sweeping.
Sounds great.
Okay. So yeah, the Buddha, he taught us that the mind is the forerunner of all things. So our mind is the thing that creates happiness, or our mind is a thing which creates turmoil. Like events in our lives, whether it's good or bad, it's what we add onto it which is a problem.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you can be a person who can live with a positive attitude, or you can be a person who lives with a negative attitude. And you take that attitude into the meditation practice. And one of the things that we learn as a meditator is that our minds are pretty much out of control. Yeah?
I agree.
So we sit down and we can tell our minds to, like, shut up. Very responsive audience tonight. But it doesn't shut up. Yeah? And sometimes our mind is so peaceful, and we tell our minds to start thinking, but it can't think. So in a sense, our mind has a mind of its own. So that's one of the, you could say that's one of the blockages that stops us from building a sense of peace in our mind. Is that control freak nature that we have when we're sitting down. We want things to be a certain way. We want peace. We want calm. We want stillness. And according to the Buddha, this wanting is a cause of suffering. Mm-hmm. Like the Buddha said, the first noble truth is craving, wanting for things, wanting for a peaceful mind, wanting to be rich, wanting to have good weather. All this wanting is creating us suffering. So instead, what we're taught as monastics is to just have this outlook that everything is good enough. Yeah? It's good enough. So, you know, the ambience in this room, you know, is good enough. It's not that boring. But if it gets boring, we can turn around and put the TV on. So it's good enough. You know, the weather, you know, if it's hot, it doesn't matter. It's good enough. Or if the weather's too cold, it's good enough. And in the same way, when you're meditating and you're not experiencing the blisses of the mind, the quietness of the mind, the peace and the stillness. And instead of complaining about it, you can just say, whatever's happening now is good enough. Yeah. And that's one of the things, actually, that we get taught as monastics living in monasteries, is not to be a person who complains too much. Yeah, because you can see where that complaint comes from. It comes from like a fault-finding mind. A mind which just looks at things and sees problems. And actually the Buddha, he did advise us to not to have a fault-finding mind. Yeah? Not to find fault, not to see the problems. But instead, to have like a heart of metta, a heart of loving-kindness. And you can sort of reflect that on your mind as well when you're meditating. You can start getting angry with yourself because it's not working. You start getting frustrated. And the Buddha said, you know, you don't conquer frustration with more anger, with more frustration. That just makes things worse. And you all know this, right? You've been in arguments before. If you just keep on arguing and arguing and arguing, even though you're right, does it make it better?
No.
So instead, the Buddha said, the only way to like conquer these, you know, states of mind is to have this sense of loving kindness to whatever's happening. And he gave the you know, the story about the elephant, the elephant.
No.
Nalagiri. So just Ray. This there's okay. There was a Buddha, and there was I think
seven blind men.
Seven blind men. Who was that jealous monk?
Devadatta.
Devadatta. He was the jealous monk, and he envied the Buddha because the Buddha had so many disciples and he was really popular and everybody loved him, and Devadatta got so jealous that he wanted to kill him. So he tried all these different methods. He sent like bandits at the Buddha, but it didn't eventuate, and he tried this and he tried that. Eventually he I don't know what he did, but I think he cast a spell over like a raging, over a wild elephant.
I got him drunk.
Yeah, on VB.
it's equivalent at that time.
Yeah. So he got the elephant drunk, and the elephant was out of his mind, going crazy, and basically was charging at the Buddha. Was charging at the Buddha, full of anger, full of rage. And this story sort of like illustrates how as people we can relate to certain situations in a new way, yeah? So you come here to learn new things, look at life in it from a different perspective. So you know, this elephant came charging down the hill at the Buddha. You know, any old person, you know, would have tried to do something to harm the elephant, like take out a gun or do whatever to harm the elephant. But that's not the Buddha's way of doing things. You don't conquer anger with anger. But instead, the Buddha, he just was the Buddha. And he just radiated all this like loving kindness towards this raging elephant. And the elephant could like feel this like beautiful energy. And the elephant started to calm down and to and then lose all its anger. And then the story goes that the elephant started to bow to the Buddha. A tamed, a calm elephant. And you know, in a sense, when we're meditating, that's what we try to do. We try to tame our minds, but we have all these different skills that we can use. And one of those skills that I always tell people is to just to be kind in the moment, to have a non-fault-finding mind, and in a sense, just try to feel the stillness and the quietness, which is actually present right now. Yeah, right now in this moment, if we're just still enough, if we're just mindful enough, we can just sense silence. It's like when you're going on holiday and you enter these big massive caves, just the atmosphere of it sort of like washes over us, and for that moment we become, you know, still and calm. And this is what we have like within our minds, within this room, within this present moment. It's this calmness, this stillness that we're looking for, and it's something that we can sense. And as we're practicing meditation, that's all we're doing. We're just going there and staying there. Yeah? Nice. Going there, staying there. But we tend to just, this is boring, go somewhere else. But that's the idea. And just keep on coming back. And keep on coming back. And then you build up the momentum, you build up more peace. And from that peace, you know, you become a more balanced person. Yeah. Okay.
So what do you do when your mind wanders?
Yeah. just have a good attitude towards your mind. Yeah. You can't really control it. And then it will just slowly calm down. Or if it doesn't, just go on a retreat for 10 days. That could help. Okay, we can start meditating now. So here we close our eyes when we meditate. So we just bring our minds into this like moment. Just be aware of what's happening now. Being in the present moment takes you away from your worries and your thoughts. Being in the present moment takes away the plans that you might have for tomorrow. Being in the present moment takes away what you might have planned after the meditation class tonight. Being in the present moment takes away all the thinking mind. It's a simple thing, but the simple things are the hardest things to do. So we're just sitting down, not complaining, not fault finding, but just developing an easygoing attitude towards our mind, towards ourselves. In life, we tend to be good to the people around us. The meditation practice is a time where we can be good to ourselves. So part of the meditation is to have that kindness to whatever you're doing, or to whatever's going on at this particular time. So one of the techniques that we can use to help our minds get centered into this moment is to develop body awareness. So we can start by taking our awareness and just placing it at our feet. Just feel the sensations of the carpet against the bottom of your feet. You know, what does it feel like? What is the texture? Is it hard or is it soft? And as you're doing this, just remember the quietness that surrounds your mind. What does it feel like? So now you peacefully just move your attention up your leg. And then to your knees. And just peacefully be aware of the sensations around your knees. There's no need to think about what the sensations are. There's no need to describe anything. As a meditator, we try to take away all those words that we use in our everyday lives, that we use to think with. But instead, meditation is an experience, more of a feeling, more of a knowing. You just know peacefully what the sensations, what the feeling is around your knees. And then slowly move your awareness to the back of your thighs, to where your bum is. You can just feel the hardness of the seat, all the sensations that the cushion's creating. Then move your awareness into your lower back. Some of us have sore backs. Some of us is a little bit stiff in the back. You know, what does that feel like? You can feel the sensations on the back rest, coming in contact with your back. You know, what does that feel like? All the while doing this with a sense of peace, being in a moment, being aware. Now just bring your mind into the moment. There's no need to focus on any part of the body anymore. But instead just be quiet. See if you can be quiet. Now we can go back to body awareness. We can take our minds and you can peacefully place our minds where our hands are. How do our hands feel? What is the pressure on our fingertips? Are our hands hot? Are our hands cold? At the moment, right now, we're just being aware of our hands. But we're doing it with a peaceful attitude. Now we can take our minds and just peacefully move them up our arms. What does our forearm feel like? Are our elbows resting against these chairs? few minutes we can just take our meditation and put it on the breath. So we're just watching the breath go in and watching the breath go out. A very easy object of meditation. Breathing in, breathing out. That's it. Simple and easy. So you just I'm watching the breath go in and out, in and out. Just put your awareness on your breathing. Because we're arrested, our breath is quite soft. It's quite calm. So we're just watching this subtle breath go in and go out. But by now you should be very calm and very peaceful. Very relaxed. Just enjoy the moment for what it is. Just being quiet, being peaceful. It feels good. Now, I'm going to end the meditation, so you can finish whenever you feel like it. Okay, so how was it? Okay.
It was great until you said, no, go end the meditation.
Okay, we can continue on. Another 10 minutes. Okay. So usually afterwards, I open up for any questions or comments about meditation, so you can get a conversation going. And there's maybe you have a few problems that come up, you can ask the monks about it. So anybody got any questions?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I found that it was very relaxing, and just when I thought that my mind had settled,
yeah,
it started to overload again.
Yeah.
And then all these things were running through my mind and I couldn't settle.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah.
Practice.
I think sometimes the reason why that happens is because whatever we're thinking about, we think it's important to us. But there's some sort of like importance there. That's why you're holding on to it. There's like you're giving it some sort of importance. But if you didn't care about it, then you wouldn't think about it. And you can see that example happening in your life.
Yes,
you know, definitely. You read something in a newspaper, but if it's happened to, you know, on the other side of the planet, it doesn't really have to do anything with you because you don't really care about it, you don't think about it. And in the same way, if it's somebody who's close to you, which gets hurt or passes away, that will just consume your mind. Is because you care for that person, you're attached to that person. But your next door neighbor, you know, he wouldn't even think twice.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, because we think whatever we're thinking about, we think it's important. Yeah, and I've seen that with, you know, my own mind. The only reason why I'm thinking about it is because, you know, I want to solve the problem, I think it's important, or something like that.
Exactly,
yeah.
What you just said.
Yeah. But then you get to the point where you know enough is enough. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Enough is enough. It's just time to just let go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Getting
there. It's time to let go because you know you've just been bothered by these, mm-hmm. you know, these thoughts or whatever's going on. It's just, you know, it's not good for your mental health. So one of the things that, you know, the, you know, Buddhists talk about is to just let it go. Just like throw it away. Have nothing to do with it. And then that way you free yourself from those problems.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, we can see that in our lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we're suffering, the reasons why we're having difficulties is because we're holding on to something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're attached to something. We're worried about something. But as soon as we like forget about it and let it go, our minds are free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We have more clarity, mm-hmm. we have more happiness. We can just go, you know, go about our everyday lives with like a, just a sense of, you know, stability and a sense of like freedom. Mm.
Lighter.
Mm-hmm. Even though I weigh quite a bit, I feel lighter.
I do.